Encourage you to take your Bibles this morning, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 22. All right, 2 Samuel 22, verses 1 through 4 says, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." Let's have a word of prayer as we begin. Father, we thank you for the testimony of David. Father, we know he went through many difficult times. We know he struggled. Father, we thank you that you are his God. Father, we thank you that you are our God. And the things that David testifies of here and he praises you for here in this passage, we can also praise you for. Father, we pray that you would encourage our hearts with these things this morning. Pray that you give me clarity of thought. Help my mind to be focused on what needs to be said this morning from your word. Give me clarity of speech. Father, I pray that you would be honored and glorified through all that is said this morning and all that is done. In Jesus' name, amen. The psalm of praise here is David's reflection on his life and the realization that God is in each part of his life. He looks back on his life and he sees God working all along the way. We've worked our way through 1 and 2 Samuel. We've looked at the highlights in the life of David, and we've seen different things that God has done on his behalf, how he has used him. He was a shepherd of his father's sheep. He rescued the sheep from a lion and a bear. God anointed David king as a youth. He killed Goliath with a sling and with a stone. He served as Saul's musician. He served as captain in Saul's army, but yet he also was threatened by Saul. He had a close relationship with Jonathan. He had to flee from Saul at least twice because Saul tried to kill him with a javelin. But he found refuge among the enemies of Israel, which was odd, but God did that. He became king after the death of Saul. He brought the ark back to Jerusalem. But he committed adultery with Bathsheba, another low point in David's life. But he's restored to fellowship with God through confession of his sin. His family, however, is characterized by strife and hatred, and he's forced from the throne by Absalom, and then he's restored to the throne. But he grieves the death of his own son. We looked at that last week and the week before, but as David looks back on these events and as he sees the hand of God in his life, and his life serves as a testimony of his relationship with God and of maintaining his relationship with God. And we looked at David's life and we see, yes, he had his low points. Yes, he had times where he struggled with his walk with God, his struggle with obedience. But yet David always returned and he confessed his sin and he returned and he came back to his walk with God and he was restored. In the 33 years plus that my wife and I have been married, she has written down in a book we call our blessing book many of the things that significant events that have taken place in our family. And some of those aren't all happy times. But as we look back on those things and as we record those things, we review those, we see the hand of God at work in each situation. For instance, when somebody was sick, when somebody had an illness or somebody got hurt, we saw God's healing because he's the great physician. When somebody had a birthday, and that was recorded in there as well, we saw growth, and we thank God for it because God is the one who gives life. He is a creator. He's a sustainer of life. When we had a need, we watched as God met that need because he is our provider. We could go on and on. It's good for us to look back and reflect on the things that God has done in our lives. As we see those things, we attach character qualities of God to that work. He is our protector. He is our provider. He is our sustainer. And that's what David's doing here in this chapter. He's looking back on his life, say, God, he proclaims his praise to God for all that God is. And some of the things we want to look at this morning are the things that David has said. And first thing we see here in this chapter is God's protection of his servant in verses 1 through 4 that we just read. And it's interesting to notice all that David had to face, all that those he fought in battle, all the enemies that he had. It says here in verse 1, it says, the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And so that attacks of Saul really stood out to David. It was very prominent in his life that, yeah, he had to face the Philistines time and time again, but yet it was the attacks of Saul and God delivered him out of those that stood out to David. It's also interesting to note that David's two greatest enemies were related to him. Saul was his father-in-law, and Absalom was his son. And both of them tried to destroy him. But God preserved him, because David didn't live his life in fear. Why didn't he live his life in fear? Well, verses 2 and 3 give us the answer to that. He said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence." And David says, I'm not going to live my life in fear of what man can do. Why? Because God is my strength. God is my rock. God is my fortress. As we look at those different things, we see, first of all, he says, God is my rock. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4 says, "He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." Down in verses 27 of Deuteronomy 32, it says, "Were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest our adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, our hand is high, and the Lord hath not done all this, for they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. How should one chase 1,000 and 2 put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges." And so people think, I can rely on this and I can rely on this and it'll get me through. But those rocks are not as our rock. And David says, "He is my rock." We see in 1 Samuel 2, verse 2, Hannah says, "There is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God." Psalm 27, 5, "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." And you get the picture. He will set me up upon a rock, something solid, something firm, because he is our rock. And David says, God is my rock. God is unchanging. He is unmovable. He is always near. Psalm 61, verse 2, David says, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." So David said, he is my rock. And then he says, he is my fortress. Psalm 71, verse 3 says, "Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress." Psalm 91, 2 says, "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. In my God, in him will I trust." And then Psalm 144, verse 2 says, "My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me." He's a place of protection. He's a castle. He's a fort. He's a defense. He's a stronghold. You know, you look back at over in Germany and other places, and you see these castles, and they're just huge. They're a fortress. They're made of stone, and the windows are just little windows. They didn't have big picture windows in those castles. Okay? It was a fortress. It was a place of protection. And the idea of the word fortress is to hold fast like a net, to surround with protection. And that's the idea of a fortress here. David says, God is my fortress. God surrounds me with his protection. And then he goes on and says, God is my deliverer. Judges chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "When the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel." Verse 15, again, "When the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer." That happened time and time again in Judges. They sinned. God led them into captivity. They cried out to God. God sent a deliverer. David says, God is my deliverer. We see in Psalm chapter 70, verse 5, "But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying." And then Romans 11, 26 says, "And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." And just as God delivered David from his enemies, so God provides deliverance from sin for each one of us. The word deliver here means to slip out of or escape. And we see many times that God allowed David to escape the hand of Saul, to escape his enemies, to escape the danger. And how often he keeps us from danger as well. God allows us to be delivered. And we'll look at that a little bit more here in a little bit. But David goes on, he says, "God is my shield." Psalm 5, verse 12 says, "For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield." Proverbs 30, verse 5, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him." To shield means to hedge about, or again, to protect, to be around. And I thought this was interesting as I was studying. It's the same idea as a scaly hide of an alligator. How many have ever seen an alligator, a live alligator? You ever notice the hide? It's not something you just go and you just pet, you know, like fur. You can't penetrate that hide very well. And they say there's particular areas on an alligator you have to hit with a bullet or something in order to penetrate effectively. Okay? God is our shield. He is impenetrable. And he is our protection. He hedges us about with protection. One of the things that the boards prayed for, asked for prayer for as they went on the mission trip this last week, they went into the Muslim areas and the Buddhist areas and said, pray a hedge of protection around us, that God will protect us because there were some definite dangers that they faced there. So David says, God is my shield. He's my protection. And then says, he's the horn of my salvation. In 1 Samuel 2, verse 1, Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice at thy salvation." And then in Luke 1, verses 68 and 69, it says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited his and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." In Daniel, when we read of the prophecies of the end times, many times there's a horn that's mentioned, and that horn is an emblem or a symbol of strength and glory and power. And at different times throughout the end times and different times throughout history, it talks about how a horn has risen up. That's a different power, a different authority has risen up. And if we apply that to what David says here, it's God is the strength, God is the glory, God is the power behind my salvation. He is the horn of my salvation. He is a deliverance from danger and from his enemies. And God is the one who is the source of authority. He's a source of power of that deliverance. And then he says, God is my high tower. Psalm 61, verse 3, "For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy." Proverbs 18, 10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." And again, it's the idea of a lofty, inaccessible place, a place of protection from the enemy. And oftentimes these towers were built on the city wall. You see some of these castles, and you see usually at the corners, you see these towers. That's the idea. This is a tower, a place of safety. But yet it was a place to look down, and you could see, I see him coming, see the enemy coming. And you could be prepared as that enemy would come. And so David would flee to God. He said, God was my high tower. God was my protection, but also God would help me to see those dangers coming. And God was his high tower. And then we see that he says, God is my refuge. Psalm 9, verse 9 says, "The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble." Isaiah 12, 2, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation." That actually goes with the next point. But David says here, God is my refuge. God is the one I resort to, I run to. We see back in the Old Testament, God instructed Moses, "Moses, I want you to set up cities of refuge." These cities are for those who had accidentally killed someone to run to flee from the pursuer, and be protected until the judge could could make things right, until the judge could bring this thing to trial, the judge could make sure things were right. And so these cities of refuge were sent up, and David says, God is my refuge. God is where I flee to when I'm in trouble. And really, that's what we need to do. When we're in trouble, we're being attacked, or we're having difficulty, we flee to our refuge, to our protection. David says he would go to God to protect him as long as he was walking in integrity, as long as he was walking with God. You know, you're not going to run to a refuge that God has set up if you're not walking with God. David couldn't run to God when he was at odds with God, when he had been disobedient to God. But David could come with a heart of confession, and he could go back. He could be restored. And so David would call God his refuge. And then finally, David calls God his Savior. Titus chapter 3, verse 3 says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." God is the one who saved and delivered David. God is his salvation. God is his Savior from his enemies, from the evil that was meant against him. And God delivers us from the evil in our own hearts through Christ, who died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin in our place. But as we look at verse 4, we see, "I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies." And as we look at that, we realize David has said, "God, you are my rock, you are my fortress, you are my high tower," and he goes through all those things, and then he comes to verse 4, and David's response to all this is praise. He says, "God, I look at those things, and all I can do, my only response that is worthy of you is praise." And he praises God for his salvation, he praises God for deliverance from his enemies, and he says, "God, you are to be praised because you protected your servant." But then we see here, secondly, God's answer to his servant's prayer. Verse 5 through 20, we read that, and David was at peace with God. But the attacks of David's enemies were many, and they were often, and many times it may seem that troubles we face will never end. It seems like there's one trouble after another, one trial or one difficulty after another. And David was overwhelmed by the continual attacks from his enemies. Verses 5 and 6 says, "When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me." But David didn't give up. Look at verse 7. It says, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears." So David calls out to God, the only one who could save him, the only one who could deliver him from his trouble. He calls out to God. As I read this passage, a picture comes to my mind of a child who's in trouble, a child who's in distress. And they can't get themselves out of it. And what do? "Daddy, Daddy, help me." And they cry out to their father. And their father comes and he does all that he can within his power to rescue that child from the danger that they're in. And David calls out to God and says, "Abba, Father." He says, "Father, I'm in trouble. Save me." What does God do? Time after time, God delivers David. He delivers him from his trouble. He delivers him from his enemies. But notice that David doesn't say, "I figured out a way to escape," or "I was able to defeat my enemies on my own." No, David's deliverance was not dependent on himself. It was dependent on trusting in the power of God on his behalf. We see in Psalm chapter 29, verses 3 through 9, it says, "The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovereth the forests. In his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. Some other verses that display the power of God, we look at Exodus chapter 15, verse 8 through 10. It says, and with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. Again, this is when Moses and the children of Israel were getting ready to cross the Red Sea. They're standing there and say, God, how are we going to do this? And Moses, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And the flood stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. God did it. God was David's protection. God was David's deliverer. God was Moses' deliverer and the children of Israel. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10, as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And in Job chapter 37, verse 2, it says, hear attentively the noise of his voice and the sound that goeth out of his mouth. He directeth it unto the whole heaven, and his lightning unto the ends of the earth. After it a voice roareth. He thundereth with the voice of his excellency, and he will not stay them when his voice is heard. God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he which we cannot comprehend. I love a good thunderstorm. I love a good lightning storm because it displays the power of God. And we see here in Job, we see in Psalm 29, God displays his power all the time. And he displays it in David's life. And David says, God, you answered my prayer. God, you delivered me. God, it wasn't me. God, it was you that did it. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that we are born in spiritual trouble. We are all in danger. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are separated from God, and there is nothing that we can do within ourselves to restore that relationship. But God saw the trouble we were in. It says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all face death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so he sent his only Son to die for our sin in our place so that we could be forgiven and receive Christ as our Savior. So many people think, well, I can buy my way to heaven. I can work my way to heaven. But the price has already been paid. There's nothing else that we have to pay. We simply have to believe. We have to realize we are a sinner before a holy God. We have to confess our sin, turn from our sin and that's keeping us away from God, and accept the payment that's already been made on our behalf. Romans 10:9-10, for if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We can call out to God. David called out to God when he was in trouble, and God answered his prayer because David trusted in him. And each one of us needs to do the same in regard to our salvation. But even after we're saved, we can do the same thing when we're in trouble. We can call out to God. God answers the prayer of his servant. The third thing we see here is God's reward of his servant. In verses 21 to 46, we won't read the whole passage, but notice how God rewards David in verse 21. It says, the Lord rewardeth me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. Down in verse 25, therefore the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyesight. David says here, God is rewarding me according to my righteousness. He doesn't say he's rewarding me for my righteousness. He says he's rewarding me according to my righteousness. It wasn't a righteousness that was within David himself. It wasn't his own righteousness that God rewarded him for. It was the righteousness that he had because he obeyed God. Verses 23 and 24 show us that. It says, for all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before him, and I have kept myself from mine iniquity. Why did God reward him? Because he was following God. He was obeying God. He was doing God's commandments. We see in Psalm chapter 19, and we've talked about this on Wednesday nights recently, but Psalm chapter 19, verse 7 through 11, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them, and in keeping of God's word, in keeping his commandments, it says, there is great reward. Why was God rewarding David? Because David was obedient to God. Because David was keeping God's commandments. He was walking with God. And God rewarded him. Notice the way that we read here in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 that God will direct our paths. That's a reward of God. That's how God rewards us. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We go read on to verse 29 through 46. Again, we aren't going to read the whole passage, but David's saying how God rewarded him. He says in verse 32, for who is God save the rock, who save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power. He maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon high places. He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. And he goes on and talks about how God rewards him, how God provides for him, takes care of him. And David was able to do these things because God gave him strength. God was his deliverance. And then finally we see in verses 47 to 51, God is worshipped by his servant. Verse 47, the Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the rock of my, the God of the rock of my salvation. It is God that avengeth me, and that bringeth down the people under me, and that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou also hast lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. He is a tower of salvation for his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, unto David, and to his seed forevermore. What's happening here? David is glorifying God. David looks back on his life and says, God, all I can do is glorify you and give you praise for all that you've done. We come to the end of David's life, and we read in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 through 13. David says, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. In thine hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. See, David couldn't take credit for all the battles he won. He couldn't take credit for the enemies that he defeated or the position he had as king. And you know what? We never see David trying to take credit for those things. He realized that everything that he had came from God, and so his only response was to give God the glory for it. He comes to the end of his life and says, God, you are all greatness. You are all the only one worthy of glory. And I want to encourage you this morning with the truth we find in Malachi 3, verse 6. It says, I am the Lord, I change not. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. As we read a passage like this, as we read through the Bible, even read through from Genesis to Revelation, what do those verses tell us? That same God that was David's God, the same God that was Job's God, the same God that was Jonah's God, or Elijah's God, or Ruth's God, or Mary's God, or the disciples' God, that same God is our God. That same God that David served, we can serve. He can be our rock, our strength, our salvation. And we can walk with him and obey him, and he will reward us as we delight in him. And we in turn can glorify him. So I trust you'll be encouraged with that this morning. You look at how David praised God for all that he did. And look back on your life and say, God, I see how you brought me through this time. God, I see how you met that need. God, I see how you answered that prayer. Yeah, it wasn't the way I wanted it answered, but God, you answered it. And I see now that that was best. We look back on those things and we see how God worked and we say, God, thank you for being my strength through that. Thank you for being my protection through that difficult time. Thank you for being my provider. We look back and we say, God, thank you for being my God. Let's pray. As we read a passage like this, all we can do is say, God, thank you, and we give praise to you. We glorify you for all that you do in our lives. Father, we follow David's example, and we realize that you are our rock, and we're in trouble. We don't need to turn to things around us. We need to turn to you. We need to allow you to set us upon a rock. We need to allow us to take us from those things that overwhelm us, help us through those things, to be our deliverer, to be our strong tower, to be our fortress, to be our refuge, to be our salvation. Father, we thank you for all that you do in our lives. We give you the honor and praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.